lot, but today is going to be a geek fest more so for me and the people that are on this with me. Back in 2012, there was a little podcast that most of y'all probably never heard about called Push to Regen.
To regenerate, click them in the grid, now it's time to play. Jay and Rob on a podcast, you're hearing this. Here to get the news of comics and hero clicks. Bi-weekly drunk dials and stats. Nate's got a question that he's got to ask. With the characters you missed in a single podcast. Marvel, DC, and your hero clicks pack. So don't be afraid to push to regenerate. New episode on your dinner plates. Jay and Rob are some bad men, so it's time for the show. Push to regen.
It was a show where, I mean, there was everything from drunk dials to all sorts of crazy hero click shenanigans. And there was this weird kid, that being me, that every week would come up with questions. And there was this other dude who was like really knowledgeable hero clicks, it seemed like, and who I didn't know yet, wouldn't become a friend of mine as of yet. It was just this dude I kept hearing about, this Dark Logos dude. And so on this particular episode of Conversations About ... I got Rob, Jay, the host of that Push to Regen show, and Dark Logos is on. So we'll start with Jay. Introduce yourself, Rob, and Dark Logos. We'll go from there.
All right. Hi. Yeah, I'm Jay, one of the half of Push to Regen from 2012, which makes me feel ancient.
Oh, God. Hurts so bad.
It's funny. I actually had a couple of months ago, I had our a Facebook memory pop up showing us recording our first episode. Which I was like, oh, we were so young. Look at that. My beard wasn't white yet. That's great. it's awesome that people still care about the show. Like we get messages fairly frequently on the Facebook page still, which is kind of crazy.
There you go.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And hi, Rob. Nice to talk to all of you folks. Yeah, like Jay said, it's been a minute, I'm excited to kind of rehash a little bit and remember those good old times.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm Dark Logos. Yeah, I'm Dark Logos. I still do Starting Over podcasts, and if anybody has heard my voice, this is like the third time officially of me being on the show, or is it two and a half? Because I was on early on, then I was on 100, and then I was supposed to be on with Scott, and I showed up for like half a second because I got my phone to work. And then, so 3.5, because I also talked about the state of the HeroClix game another time I was in the lineup, and I was Debbie Downer saying that all the stuff didn't matter, and then WizKids, like 2 weeks later, said like, oh, hey! Hey guys, we changed retirement. So yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So fun stuff. So I want to first of all kind of talk a little bit about the show and its impact on me. It was weird because this was at a time where at HeroClix I was getting into more of the competitive scene. I'd always been kind of I play at locals. I build fun teams. And I do crazy things with fun stuff, but I don't know what meta is. And then I went to an event in Houston one day and got woke up real quick to what meta looked like. It wasn't like the best way to describe it for me is Reggie White in his prime laying some fool out as a sack behind the offensive line, or Mike Tyson in his prime knocking some sucker out in like 10 seconds. That for me was the reality of it. And so then I'm sitting there trying to find stuff to like pick people's brains and try to understand what I went through. But then also try to figure out how to become better at this thing called the game. And so Push to Regen was kind of that podcast where I could kind of come in and hear about what was hot, but also what was fun and what was different and what was unique. And like I said, kept hearing, you know, and I've got to read this because y'all posted this on Facebook, so it's for forever. So,
oh, God.
So this is a, this
he's
is
got receipts. We're in trouble.
Oh no, you're not really. So this is the initial part of this. I'm gonna skip to something. Starting on February of 2012, Rob and I were fortunate enough to podcast a bi-weekly show about a game we love. And for some reason, you guys seem to dig it too. We did around 40 shows, which ranged from everything to excellent to passable. But no matter what, you guys, our awesome listeners, stuck around and let us know what you thought about the show, about Nate, and about these crazy games where we love with plastic superheroes. So I'm going to speed through some of this because there's a lot of thanks to Wiz Kids and stuff like that, which I'm like, okay. But there's one line that's vital to me because when I read it the first time, I cried, I'm going to be honest. To Big Will Holland, our original fanboy. Will, you've been there since episode one, and you've been giving us feedback and awesome questions almost every episode. Yes, I know we owe you for never being on the show. And yes, we'll make it up to you in some way, shape, or form. Guess what, gentlemen? This is you making it up to me.
Oh, yeah, like you don't have receipts. No, it's not bad. You just owe me this.
So this is me calling that in. So, and
fair enough.
I feel like this is the best way to do it.
Nerds pay their debts. We're good.
Exactly. So I met Edward through this show.
Yeah.
So because Edward was always had these cool questions and stuff, and then one day, like I think through Realms, like I just randomly messaged him. I was like, "Hey, yeah, you're on that show I like. Yeah, like you're on there almost as much as I am. Yeah, cool." So then, like over a period of several messages, it's like, "Hey, here's my phone number. Do you want to call and actually talk on the phone?" They're like, "Okay," and then like we did, and we've been good buds ever since.
Oh, that was awesome.
That's great. Yeah, really happy to hear that. That's heartwarming, you know?
It is.
Like seriously, I'm genuinely glad about that. That's fantastic. That's the kind of thing that, you know, games are supposed to do. They're supposed to bring people together, make friends, and you know, have some fun together. And if you can you know, come up with some fun strategies so Tyson doesn't catch you with the uppercut next time, then all's the better.
And we have, I mean, Edward and I have had adventures where I've been in my hometown and made a racist dude quit the game. That was fun.
Ooh. Love it. Get him out of there.
Yeah. Edward, would you like to tell that story or you want me to tell it?
Hold on, so here's the thing with Will and I. Like, Will gets to be my HeroClix priest sometimes, where I'm just like, I have a team and I can't tell too many people about certain things. You have no one to tell, but here, here's some stuff. And then occasionally he's like, so what's some of this meta dark magic? And I'm like, my good sir, is like opening up the trench coat. Which one? Which one of these do you
want? What do you need?
And so like, there's been a couple of times where I've armed him, you know, sort of like a third party. It's just like, hey guy, I have this cool tech. You should run it. And when he does, it's out of left field, and it's fun. It's fun when that happens.
Yeah, I feel
it's,
like
it's the test kitchen. You know, you gotta send it out there and present it to the people and find out what happens. Get your feedback.
Yeah. I feel like Eminem and Dr. Dre. I feel like I'm the dude that sits there and is just like, hey, God sent me to piss the Edward sent me to piss the world off. You know, that's the way that works. Like, so, like, this one guy in my hometown, which up till recently hasn't ever had a mixed prom because, quote, when integration occurred, they decided that they didn't want their little white children dancing with the dark people. And that's a nice
one. That's an environment.
Yeah, the chief of police in public has dropped the N-bomb, and this is, like, 2021. So, yeah, this ain't new. But anyway, so, crazy stuff like that. Well, anyway, so, I'm, you know, I'm at a store and I'm rocking like 1,000. It's like 1,000-point tournament. I'm rocking 1,000-point shield team with like Balls of Fury, Nick Fury.
And swarm them, baby. Swarm them. Love it.
This guy has like two of the characters from Pacific Rim. He has the one that you could play her at 900, or you could slather it, I think, or you could play her at 300. And then he played a leatherback, which the leatherback was like at full, but she was at 3. Well, I go through and I'll wax Slatherin pretty easily. And of course, it's like, oh, you're going to take Mystic's feedback for that. Yeah, I don't care. I'm going to pump you for like 8 damage in one turn.
900 pieces. Give me all the Mystic's like,
I don't
you want, man.
Really care. Like,
oh, no, you did a damage to my Mockingbird.
Yeah. And I thought, all right. So, yeah, you're 300 point piece. And then he tried to resuscitate the Slatherin. I was like, you can't do that unless you're paying the 900 points. And if you play 900 points, that's your team. Like, you ain't got another Pacific Rim piece you can play with that that's 100. So, no, you're not resuscitating that one. You don't get to do that. So he got mad at that. So the fact that it went down to the wire, and, like, we really, they called time as I was firing my last shot, and I missed the Leatherback. Leatherback was on his last click. The guy grabs the Leatherback, hurls him across the store, just pissed. He's like, this guy almost beat me. You got a room in here. Like, what the hell's going on? I'm sitting there thinking, like, first of all, this guy's right here. Like, homie, I'm like, I have a name, dude. Like, you're talking about me while the guy is sitting across from me apologizing. He's not, I'm so sorry, man. I don't know what's happening. And so this guy's just storming off. His wife's all apologetic. And then, like, maybe 6 months later, I, like, DM'd her just to see what's going on. Because I didn't have access to his social media. I had access to hers. I'm like, so, hey, is your husband still playing? You know, have y'all had a chance to get, you know, some stuff down? He's like, nah, he quit the game. It's like, what? He stole all his stuff. I said, wait, what? I said, why? He said, because nobody had ever came that close to beating him before.
Aww, not even beating him.
And I called him a little snowflake.
And then it was like,
couldn't stand the heat. Yeah, and you got to get out of the test kitchen.
Yeah, and then it went from that to like the magical Nedro syndrome where like I came in and we were doing Deadpool and X-Force and there was a guy that was just sitting there and the guy was like, oh, hey there, buddy. You ain't played before like this. I've played in a thing called ROC. You ever heard of that? I'm like, Realms Open Championship? Yeah, I've heard of them. You know, he didn't know that I just played in one in Houston like a month beforehand against like Easton Brock and all the big wigs at that area, you know, including some PJA and some of the other people that were in Phoenix. I gave people from Phoenix X water. Like, I brought, like, a six-pack of water so that my boys at Phoenix Desk could have something to drink that they had to pay for. And they were like, oh, cool, Edward told us you were going to be here. It's like I, it's like, they, he had no idea who I was. And so, of course, the person that taught them all how to play, I beat her flat in, like, 5 minutes. And all I had was a sealed tournament. So it's like Colossus and Cable. That was my team.
Oh, yeah.
Deadpool X-Force.
That figure.
And so, like, boom. I'm like, all right. So then the next guy comes up. He's all like, wait, you got the new dice from this year? Like, hey, it's only one tournament from this year? Yeah, I was at it. He's like, wait a minute. Wasn't it Easton Brock? Yeah, I played him first round. They were like, wait, what? And so he was just bumfuzzled. And so I beat him, the brakes off of him. I beat the brakes off the third guy. And then the last guy pulled the Deadpool chase. Well, because it started snowing and my mother was concerned, because, of course, moms are concerned, I had to go home. And so the girl that I beat the first time in 5 minutes, she was all like, well, what was your math would have been if you had dealt with the Deadpool Chase Unicorn? Because none of us wanted to touch it because it did Mystic's feedback damage. I said, you want my math? I said, yeah. Colossus runs up turn one, attempts to hit Deadpool. Initially, Colossus hits for 5. All right? He's going to suck that up. He gets that once per game, right? Right. So I don't hit. So technically, I don't take Mystic damage, right? Right. Cable body slides up, psychic blast at Deadpool for 4. Okay? It's like, all right. So then I said, Colossus pushes with that ultra heavy that I have right by Colossus and now hits for 7 or 8 damage. I've taken one click. That click's dead. I can run the rest of the field. I don't have to kill anything else. Because that's 150 points of his team, and there's nothing else on his team that's gonna be able to beat Colossus and Cyclops and Colossus and Cable. That's my math. And the guy just looked at me. He goes, "Oh, and the guy that I beat the brakes off of that I'd never competed, that thought I'd never completed an ROC or hadn't heard of ROC." There was another black guy in the tournament beforehand. I'm up there paying for my pack, right?
Oh, and he's all like, talking about that, yeah.
He's like, what you think about him? Black guy's like, well, I guess I'm not the only token one here now, am I? So then at that point, he's like, yeah, as long as you know your place, boy, you'll be all right. And they're just sitting there laughing and cutting up. I was like, well, do we burn this place down to the ground now or wait till we're done?
Nah, you win first, then you do.
I was like, burn the place down. Like,
you take the prize support and then you burn it.
Yeah. I was just like, yeah.
But I mean, I looked at the storekeeper, and he's just like, I'm so sorry. I'm like, you keep apologizing for them like it matters to me that you apologize for them, because they ain't apologizing themselves.
Yeah, and I think that's
he's still taking their money, so.
Yeah, that's the other fun part about Armin Will with stuff, is that I know I'll get a story, and it's always worth it. It's always worth it. And then it's just like, who's the arms dealer? And it's just like... The world may never know. I could just sort of slide in the back. And they'll be like, yeah, he's functionally a mercenary for First World Heroclix Nation.
Set loose on the ignorant to come back with stories.
Dark was just like, I have the plan. And then I was like, execute my plan, my son. I'm like, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'm on it. I got you.
Spread the word. Times I've given them figures too, because I've just been like, no, man, we can't go and do the Kmart version of this. We have to go full high fashion luxury with this. It's like, there's going to be a package in the mail. Just accept it. We're going to play this.
Just take the said package and go ahead and run the thing and then send it back to me when you're done. It's like, okay.
All deniability. You have full deniability. It's like, what's a Karen Iron Man? What Deadpool? What? I don't know these figures. They're good. I don't have a Hellfire Club gala figures. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that was another fun
Heavens
one.
Heavens no.
That was another fun one because I went to a deal. They had a big celebration deal that they called it. It was a 300-point modern. And, of course, I'm sitting there like, okay, well, what can I run based on what I have? It was like, well, have you got Longshot from the X-Men Rise and Fall? I was like, yeah. Have you got the Pumpkin Bombs from Spider-Man? I was like, actually, that's the only equipment I have from that set. He goes, okay, you got Hellfire Club, right? I was like, yeah, let's start planning.
Yeah, it's like crit hits with energy explosion. How does it feel?
Yeah. Oh god, yeah, long shot. He crits on like every double, right? Yeah.
No, it's fives.
Oh,
it's
fives.
It's five or sixes.
Okay.
Well, that was the whole thing. Club,
yeah, the Hellfire Club basically says if you roll a five and a two, then you can replace the two with a five.
Yes. So it's EE town all day, every day. And There's some other things that shall not be named that we've worked on, but that one I could let escape because I've made worse things since then. And so if someone's like,
So you're just revealing the vanilla stuff. This is the cherry on top. This ain't the cake.
That's our milestone build. We're going into the full service stuff now.
Is like Lockheed Martin. It's like, this is the stuff you get to see without a contract.
This is what we put on the press release. Imagine what we got in the back room, kind of.
You have to go through the paywall for the rest of it, you know.
No, there's no paywall. There's no OnlyFans here.
Well, I said paywall. I did not say OnlyFans, sir. Oh, stop bringing that into it at all. I am not that sexy. I'm not that lean. I'm sorry. That will never
just
be
great
me.
Pictures of HeroClix figures, and it's like, mm-hmm. You get those for free, but you want to see the team list? Subscribe.
Oh gosh.
So, Edward, I'd like for you to just kind of discuss the show and your thoughts on the show as a whole. Just kind of going down memory lane thing here.
Oh, that's easy. So I call myself the second generation HeroClix podcast. And then these guys were like shortly after me. And the fact that they were trying to be competitive and also like economically friendly was where I was like, oh yeah, this is what's up. And the thing in the community at that time is we were going through a shift. Because the first HeroClix podcast that will not be named, that was hosted by a man that I will not name because we had too much beef, it galvanized the community because they were purely casual to the point where they were like, they said, Daniel Joins is not my HeroClix world champion, if y'all remember that drama. And I'm just sitting back like, no, people need to know like what's actually good. And so when, you know, myself and Glass Cabinet are on the scene, and then here comes Push to Region slightly after, and I'm just like, yay, somebody else to talk about competitive stuff, and it's not just me. So sometimes I'm just like, okay, I need something to listen to to get other ideas. And then what they opened me up to was a very important thing that I still use in team coaching today, is what is the economics of a team? It's easy to say, oh, wow, I'm going to do super rare chase, ultra chase on every single team. But you're only teching for like the super pros. And then you're hit sideways if you're going to a WKO or you're going to like a States Rock or something like that. And out comes these, you know, a guy's entire team is worth maybe $50 or $75 and you don't know what to do. And this is definitely before the time where dials are on the back of the cards. So you had to memorize dials. And so all of a sudden you could hit people sideways by being like, here's this figure, I do a lot of damage to you, but you do not know what my dial is, you do not know how to approach me, and if you just pump a lot of damage, you don't know if you overkilled me, put me on a special click, or just overall like wasted a lot of time. And that's the one thing that I really like about their approach, which still is in the community today and several other shows, of like looking at commons, uncommons, looking at building low-cost teams, looking at the economics of stuff. And that's a huge impact that most people didn't see or maybe aren't aware of. So that's my biggest takeaway from them, other than playing them online and beating them.
Agreed. That happened. Yeah. Bopped. Bopped, I do believe.
Yeah, that was not pretty. No. We lost badly, but it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah.
Edward came in, and all of a sudden you just hear the background. Doom, doom. Time to play the game. Spits the water up. Just bah.
Trying to wipe off our team sheets. I was like, I'm sorry. We brought a fun team. I'm sorry.
He's like, I came to play the way it meant to be played. I'm going to roll some dice now. It's going to be incredible.
Gosh, dog.
Yeah. Like, we always, I mean, it's interesting that you talk about us, like, talking about, like, competitive play, because I never really thought of us like that. I kind of thought of us as more almost anti-competitive, and not in that we didn't like it. Like, you know, it's fun to play against people, but we wanted to try and beat the thing that everybody thought was the best right now. Yep. Like, yeah. So if everybody's complaining about a piece, we're like, okay, well, let's just figure out how to beat it. And we just throw stuff out there. And of course, people ran with that kind of stuff like crazy. Because, I mean, the thing that we really wanted to get away from was, you're on the internet, so you're getting drowned in negativity. Yep. And so if everybody is saying, oh, all these team pieces, you can't beat them, it's like, all right, we'll just out action economy them then, you know, just put a bunch of figures out there, tie stuff up, you know, incapacitate is freaking golden. If they've got one piece and you put one action token on it, congrats, you just took away a turn. Yep. You know, like, it's that sort of thing that, you know, was the kind of stuff that we like to do, was, you know, show people that, like, really, really diving into, like, crazy ideas and letting that stuff run and having fun with it doesn't mean you have to get bodied when you go to your local shop, you know? You can put something together that you like, that plays the way you want to play, but if we can give you a couple of ideas of, hey, if you want to make this kind of thing, make sure you don't ignore this piece, because it's pretty good, it's cheap, it's fun, and you know, like, I love that you mentioned Longshot, because I remember, like, the old Longshot having, like, three target incapacitate and, like, extra damage or something, and I was like, yeah, that was fun, man. You just run out there and, like, okay, bam, I just locked half your team down for this turn. What are you going to do now? And, like, oh, huh. It's like, yeah, my X-Factor team is looking not so stupid right now, right? So it's, you know, it was just the kind of thing where we wanted everybody to look at the meta as a challenge, not a weight on the game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's interesting to me to hear you kind of comment, you know, the same message that we were putting out from kind of the other direction. I'm psyched that that's what it did for you, because I mean, it's pretty obvious you know a good bit of stuff about the game, and anything we could have done to give you ideas and you know, help you, you know, bounce ideas off of people, I'm pumped for that, man. That was awesome.
Yeah. I remember I went to a Winter map one time, and I remember you guys talked about the Hulkbuster arms and how one of them gave exploit weakness. So then when I went to a Winter map, and it was like, okay, I had the little world's finest Harley Quinzel, the prime, whatever, the one that created the little explosion box. And then I had the Red Sun Wonder Woman, and I was like, well, hey, they mentioned the arm of Iron Man for Nick Fury. What if we gave Wonder Woman that exploit weakness? Well, then, you know, she can just go tear stuff up, you know, and she did, and got me second place in the Winter map.
Nice. Awesome.
And, you know, Edward was there again, because I was talking to him. It's just like, so this is how I did in round one. You know, the guy quit halfway through the first thing, and, like, I went and charged at him and hit him and picked up a heavy and hit him for, like, 8 damage, and he was just like, yeah, I'm done. You've won. You took the whole team out. Because he had a Goblin King, and he forgot to choose powers. Turn one. So, like, he came out about halfway out there, was like, doom, he got done. And he was like, okay, and I had already moved, like, I already had the Harlequin picked up with Wonder Woman and had moved, positioned her. So then he was like, oh, I forgot to do powers. Can I go back and do powers? I was like, no, we're already in turn. Like, I mean, I have to rewind, because I'd already positioned and rolled for an attack at that point. And
I forget
who it was that, like, TK'd her out, basically. And she just ran up and it's just like, heavy off, ultra heavy, boom. You know,
yeah. So
275 gone. It was just like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm all for the rollback. Like, I'm notorious for letting stuff go as long as haven't made decisions based on the thing that you talked about, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and I understand, you know, there's the hyper-competitive kind of scenarios where you're like, oh, okay, no, if you don't have your stuff together, then that's, you know, we're measuring skill here. We're not just throwing dice and figuring out who wins.
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, if it's, you know, kind of a, I mean, not even a cash announcer, if it's a store game or something like that, yeah, I'll roll it back.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, like, if you've thrown an attack, you've moved your pieces out, it's like, I don't want to roll my whole turn back and figure out a new strategy because you didn't do the main thing your piece does, like your the cornerstone of your team does. I'm like, I'm gonna hit you. It's gonna hurt, and you're gonna learn.
Yeah.
You will never
don't
forget.
Put that fork in the outlet anymore. Yeah.
As Edward said that night when I called him, he was like, "He will never forget again."
Yep.
Because he forgot that one time and pursued two guys.
Now, what did you learn?
I love that you brought up kind of the $3 theme teams and the economics of the game, because that was it was something we consciously put into the show, but it wasn't because we're like, oh, we can do this. It was necessity. We were poor. Like, it was, we had some old busted pieces, and we're like, well, if we're gonna be doing this, we're gonna be talking about new stuff. We never made a dime from the show. You know, that was the you know, this is back in the day before Patreon, before really crowdfunding yeah. thing, so everything came out of pocket for us. So the $3 theme teams was a way to stay on top of the game, but by getting new pieces, but keeping it in a point where we were able to, you know, actually still get lunch at work. And it led to a lot of different things. Like, that's actually one of the ways that WizKids got eyes on us. It's how we were able to interview the lead designer when we were able to. I can't remember his name. I think it was Norm. It was one of the things that
Norm's judge about us was like,
he was one of the designers at the time. Back in the day,
you had the designers, but then you also had somebody else on, because I remember that episode, because that episode
we had
the
new powers and ability card episode.
Yeah,
I remember that one,
because
I think that's like four or five power and ability cards ago, but
yeah. So many cards.
That episode was important because the only other place that WizKids talked at that time was on Realms, because Realms had that exclusive, you know, connection, and also
it was the forum.
And the other important thing, which I'll say it, which is really nice, it being the first show to do it, it showed that a lot of HeroClix podcasters, it was possible. It may be hard as hell, but it was possible. I pissed too many people off. I found that out from behind the scenes. I pissed too many people off, so I could never have, like, WizKids design. I got a judge and some champions, but I could never get anything that's like, hey guys, so why did y'all make this? And what was the crack good that day? Like,
this
became really good. You know, we're not talking at the height of the meth epidemic yet, but like, I'm critical. I'm still critical. I already know. Like, I've had multiple people that were in tell me, like, you're never going to get in contact with WizKids, and they told me, it's like, Zoran doesn't like me, and I verbally acknowledge that in multiple places. But going back at the interview is like, one, it wasn't like 60 minutes, like, where were the weapons of mass destruction episode? It was like, look, here's this stuff. Can you talk about the stuff at least? And what really made me sort of happy at the time and makes me a little sad now is they at least talk to somebody in the community that speaks to the fan base versus just trying to speak to the fan base. Right now, they don't really talk to anybody. Like, the only person that you had close to doing that was Kenny before they let Kenny go, which was sad. Which I don't know if that's Kenny winning or it's bad for him. That's, I don't know what's going on, but it's not good for the game. And then with the overall communication from that episode, it was like, in the back of my mind, it's like, okay, I'm not going to get my questions asked that are hardcore, but when are they going to come back again and reveal stuff? Because I also think you all were like the first to get like a brick. Didn't they give y'all a brick of stuff? Did they send you over?
Never mind.
All right. So, not for the show. No. Yeah.
Okay. Never mind. Yeah. I'm an old man in the block. Telephone to get off the lawn. I forget some things.
When Will invited us on, I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna have a tough time remembering half of this stuff. I'm like flipping through old episodes and stuff, and I'm like, oh god, sound quality. I'm like, just going through it. I'm like, all right. Okay, yeah, no, I kind of remember this. All right.
Yeah, one thing I thought was really interesting too was having an opportunity to have a podcast where you could ask questions and you could input things.
Yeah.
And I felt like that was something that was really important. So I'm going to flip it and ask you guys a question. What was one of the favorite questions that you got on the show?
I don't know if I really had, because I will be straight up honest, I don't remember the question.
it's been too long.
It's been a long time, and I am very, very old. but I will say that, you know, there's stuff that sticks out. The Google Voice line and trying to figure out what the question was by listening to the trans or by reading the translation and trying to figure out what
it was
before we actually listened to the question. That stuff was great.
Oh yeah. Our brief experiment with having like a hotline to like send in voice messages. Yeah, that was fun.
Nate willingly taking part, and doing his idiotic questions every week, 2 weeks ish. And you know, that stuff was great. It was something where I know when we started out, we consciously wanted to do something that we would want to listen to, because we could have very easily just kind of droned on about the game for an hour or two and called it a day, but that's not who we are. That's not how we played the game when we did play. So why would we record a show like that? You know, it didn't make sense for us to just kind of be, you know, clean about it. You know, we had a very easygoing show. It was there. We had a format, but the format was loose. Like I remember when we started, we're like, okay, we'll talk for 10 minutes about this and we'll talk for 20 minutes about this. And like the second episode, we're like, no, throw that away.
No, here's
the topics
idea.
We want to cover. And that's what we're going to cover.
Here's the window. We're throwing it out.
Yeah. And if it took 5 minutes to cover a subject, it took 5 minutes. If it took 45 minutes, it took 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do remember folks, commenting on the wildly varying length of some episodes. Mm-hmm. Like we would get on a roll with something and be like, oh, okay, this one's kind of a long one. And it's like, yeah, no, this one there wasn't a whole lot of news, and the theme team was kind of a bop, and there's no new sets coming out for a couple of months, so we're just going to talk about having some fun for a little while, and then we're going to sign off. We just wanted to let y'all know we're still here. I do remember we got a few questions from folks who were new to the game and would ask about, you know, because despite having a giant card of abilities and stuff, once you kind of grasp the core of HeroClix, it's a pretty straightforward game. You know, you've got numbers, you compare them, then stuff happens. But, you know, you have people who, you know, want to get into it, but they feel intimidated by, you know, going to stores and stuff. And, like, honestly, I just remember sometimes we'd be like, just go and lose. Mm-hmm. Like, legit. Like, just go and lose. Like, go. Bring a team that you want to play with, that you're going to have fun with. See how you play in your first game. And then you're going to lose. You're going to lose. You're going to do something stupid, and you're going to feel bad about it. Stop that. Mm-hmm. Like, just take the loss and say, okay, what do I not do next time? Don't do that. Then the next game, you got a goal. It's like, okay, I'm not going to let this happen. You know, just incrementally improve. Turn it into something where you're learning, not something where you're going out and trying to, you know, be Mozart when you can't play chopsticks. You know, like, learn through losses. I haven't played HeroClix in forever, but I play fighting games all the time. Like, Street Fighter and Tekken and stuff are my jam. And I am so, so, so much happier to get absolutely bopped by somebody than I am to just clean house. Because I can learn something from the guy that wrecked me. I can't learn anything from the guy that loses and then rage quits.
Right.
I don't know anything. I don't know anything different. I might have even learned some bad habits from that guy.
Gotcha.
So, the biggest thing that I remember telling people is just play more, have fun. The moment you stop having fun, you need to back up and do everything you can to start having fun again.
Right.
Because if you're not having fun, you're turning it into something that's not fulfilling. It's not, you don't need another job. You're doing this for a hobby. Like,
right.
You're not going to make a living playing HeroClix. You need to, this needs to be relaxing for you.
Right.
You know? That was the thing that, you know, and again, it all ties back to the same kind of thing, is just make sure you're having fun.
That's actually kind of a good segue for what happened with the show. You know, it was like, we put a lot of hours into it. Mm-hmm. A lot of hours into it, like to the point where we were, you know, it was taking up time at work. Like, we're playing on our lunch breaks and stuff like that, as opposed to hanging out or, you know, leaving the office for an hour, you know. And it just got to the point where it wasn't enjoyable to do anymore. When it, you know, I'm editing 7 hours a week.
Yeah.
It was a second job. And yeah. it wasn't. We had a lot more fun hanging out and just, you know, talking about, you know, comics or movies or random shows than we were having, you know, playing Heroclix. So.
Right.
And, you know, that I'm notoriously somebody who kind of bounces from hobby to hobby every once in a while. Jay was doing all of the, you know, editing and technical work and stuff like that. I know that was a ton of work on him to remove all of my stuff from the from the episodes. You know, that was a huge, you know, burden on him. And it got to the point where, you know, we had done a lot of the stuff that we wanted to do. We had gotten kind of our message out there. It pretty much had sort of, I feel like it calmed down. Like, by the time we had left the game, there was arguments over what the meta was.
Yeah.
You know? We were seeing, like, finishes of big tournaments and stuff for teams that we had no idea of, like, that we hadn't even heard people, like, complaining about yet. And I'm like, all right, so it's not a thing where WizKids is making a piece and this is broken and you need to either play this piece better than anybody else or play a tech specifically to beat this piece.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it turned into a thing where it's like, oh, okay, at least now there's a few different archetypes you got to deal with. And so I'm like, okay, we've said, you know, go out there and have fun. People are obviously brewing like crazy. You know, you're not seeing finals that are Nightcrawler, Metron, you know, mirror matches and stuff anymore to throw back to what, like 2009-7, whatever that was. At that point we were just like, okay, you know, my interest is being held together by, you know, hanging out with Jay, and Jay's, you know, hanging on by the fact that we've got a show. So we were just like, okay, and we kind of canceled recording once or twice, and we're just like, you know what, probably time to tip the hat, tell everybody we love them, and stop, you know, disappointing folks and tell them that we'll get it out soon or sometime or whatever. Step away.
Yeah. And I, for one, can say I appreciated it. It was sad when it happened, but I understood why it happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of to the effect of when you say it's no longer fun, you know, you don't continue pushing through it because you have other things. And I know you guys have done some other podcasts. I know there's been some square pegs and some geeky commutes and things like that going on and some other things. So y'all have done that.
By the way, I loved that series. I thought that was amazing.
Unfortunately, my recording studio broke down, and then I stopped driving into work. So
yeah, the world all of a sudden decided that we needed to sit at home for a while, sit our butts at home, and do some things.
Wasn't a whole lot of commuting going on at that point. So.
All right, brothers, stand down for just a second. After seeing your forms, it's apparent that your kung fu skills, while great, you're lacking one thing. That's your nerd kung fu. If you want to get that up and you want to learn how the nerd kung fu works best, check out the link in the description of the episode of the podcast. You get a chance to support the show and get some cool licensed gear from all sorts of geek fandoms all over the world. Now go on. Go get your nerd kung fu on. Yeah, not at all for a while. So Edward and I are going to kind of give you the 411 on Heroclix today. Because one of the things y'all mentioned whenever I was trying to assemble this team of people was it's like, you know, we haven't really played Heroclix in a while. I was like, no, I know. But this is my ode to something that was awesome in my life that y'all contributed to. So Edward,
what's the meta?
You know how they said that, you know, that the meta wasn't Metron and Nightcrawler?
Are they back?
Metron and Nightcrawler now.
Now we got legacy figures of characters that you would never have thought had come back. It's just like, oh, now World's Finest is back as a new figure.
What? Really?
Now stuff like Thanos came back from Infinity Challenge as a legacy figure.
So,
I'll let you kind of kick into that a little bit.
I my joke is there's never a better time to come back and run your old collection, because the chances are it might get a legacy figure here real soon. If it was popular enough by the current designers, it might come back and be better than what it was, which makes you either A, wonder, do I still have that figure, or regret selling it so that you can go buy something else that you don't play right now. So that's sort of the current conundrum, I would argue. The other thing is welcome back to War of Light, where we have constructs and rings again, except this time the rings suck. The constructs are a little bit better, except we don't have a sniper rifle equivalent. But yeah,
I was gonna say the constructs were really good back in the day.
that's about when we stepped away, wasn't it?
Well,
right
after War of Light. I thought it was more like Flash was the era y'all were kind of. I remember Flash being the last big set that y'all were.
I forgot about that.
There was a Flash set.
Okay, we were around. I remember Amazing Spider-Man. Yeah. Okay, yeah, farther.
So, if you want to talk about,
I remember the Dota 2. Oh gosh.
Yeah,
did
Dota 2 was
with like 12 sets in 1 year.
And that actually caused a crash in the game when they came out with so many sets. When all that stuff retired out, people were pissed and they left. Like, because you're talking about there was a new set like every 2 months, and like even my locals were like, we can't keep up with this. It's just too much stuff. So yeah, that backfired on them. But currently, I mean, if I'm going to be honest, you have a couple of things that are viable right now. I think Avengers is about to be on the come up, even though theme teams got nerfed to hell. I mean, mission points, which, I mean, winning the game without fighting, I think that's just going to become a lot more popular. The stat denial stuff, where it's like, I have two Mr. Sinisters. I got two rally dice. Congratulations. You're going to crit miss here. Yeah, like, I'm going to replace that die with a one. And other Mr. Sinisters are going to replace that die with a one. Congratulations. And there's a lot of, I think the biggest issue where everybody has a hubbub around right now is the movable terrain and people being able to break first turn immunity and do damage with the big terrain, with the elevated terrain. So, yeah. Is the game diverse? Yes. Are things always, like, super awesome? No, there is some stuff. I think the biggest thing WizKids is going through right now is they're going through what I fully believe is what Magic the Gathering was going through about, I don't know if it's 4 or 5 years ago, when, what was it? They had like the champion face card or whatever, and that was what your army, commander. They're going through the commander phase where side events are starting to become more popular, and so they're trying to like officially rein that in and make that the focus. But just like Wizards of the Coast, they don't want to put money up. So yeah, like that to me is,
they just want to sell you product. They don't want to turn their competitive environment into that.
Right. And because of that, they're introducing things in formats like, oh, no one asks for this. We have our own side formats for these tournaments and whatnot, but you're realistically not supporting this. And I have teammates that say, well, no, like, look, Silver Age is supported because The Rock has an event. And I'm like, that's The Rock. That's not WizKids. Like, there isn't going to be a Pulp World Champion this year. And or I forgot what the other format was. And the
themed.
Okay, and the reason is, and this is the God honest truth, and this is why I can't ever get an interview by WizKids. They straight up know, number one, they're not going to prize out that many people. And number two is, if they allow for there to be a world champion or even a national champion in any of these other categories hosted by them, people would not play 300 Modern. And the moment people are not playing 300 Modern, they are spending a lot less on HeroClix. So they functionally tank their own sales. But just like I said, it's the same problem that they had with Commander, like Magic had with Commander, is that Commander was cheap and it was affordable and it made people want to play. Whereas 300 Modern, unless you are a hardcore, I see most people not wanting to play. So I can understand, I mean, why a lot of
it's kind of left. Funny.
Hmm?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Like, I've got friends who are big into the Magic community, and that's a big problem right now. Nobody wants to play Standard.
Yeah, because Standard is hella expensive.
Well, and they're trying to fix it now by extending the set rotation, kind of similar to what
March of the Machines
sort of did with their new two
March of the Machines Aftermath. Because March of the Machines Aftermath sure was a great idea, where it's like, oh, we're going to come out with a set that's going to give you 5 cards. You're going to pay almost the same amount as a pack for a regular pack that had 15. You're going to get a box to spend $80 for it when you normally spend a little over 100. Great job, guys.
Woo! Well, I mean, not to dive too heavy into that, I am fully into the conspiracy mindset of Hasbro is leaking money right now and is forcing Wizards of the Coast to kill both Magic and
D&D.
Dungeons and Dragons. Straight They're trying to milk every dollar they can out of it.
Yes. Okay. So, side note, I make my own RPG. I do RPGs for high schoolers and middle schoolers, right? So I am the DM. I made my own RPG primarily because I don't want parents, especially like, if you, shout out to the dude RPG Elite, and he did a show like why black people don't play RPGs on average. And one of them is like religious stuff, like I don't want gods and all this other stuff in there and all that. So I made my own, and I listened to a lot of Wizards and D&D, and even I like some of the storylines that they have in Magic the Gathering. So I was like, oh yeah, this is good material. Like, I could just like make a story arc about March of the Machines and blah, 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 blah. And the kids love it, right? Okay, I listened to all their, like the commentators about D&D and what they're doing, like they did with one D&D and the freaking, what was it? The open gamer license,
the OGL.
And I was just like, oh wow.
I am really way over my head in RPGs now. That's my current thing, so.
Yeah, I was like, I want all the money.
It's interesting how that all plays out.
But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you run into the thing where you've got something that is inherently extremely creative.
Mm-hmm.
Bumping up against the reality of company needs to make money, and company doesn't just need to make money. Company needs to make money for parent company, who needs to make money for important people who own parent company.
Well, those Transformers ain't gonna sell themselves. Well, you know, them G.I. Joes and the Gravity Feeds Marvel Legends and all that stuff ain't gonna sell itself.
But this is the thing where WizKids. Go ahead.
No, go for it.
Okay, so like, this is the problem I see WizKids is with NECA. All of their other brands are failing, and WizKids is the only thing under the NECA brand that is profitable. And so they're functionally putting excessive pressure onto WizKids to make a lot of money to prop up all these other divisions, just like Wizards of the Coast is doing for Hasbro. But I would say it's like this. Unlike Hasbro burned all of their other communities. They burned the My Little Pony. They burned the Transformers community for real, the G.I. Joe community, and there was one other major property that they burned, and I forgot. And hardly anyone's playing classical board games. What was it?
Power Rangers,
yeah.
Yeah, they just keep burning their communities by either putting out product that they didn't want, over-monetizing, or giving licensure to people that are predatory. Like, there has not been a Transformers game in the last 5 to 6 years that hasn't been hyper-monetized. Like, every Transformers game that you can think of within the last 5 years, probably bar 2, were all mobile, in gacha games. Every single one of them.
Well, there's that deck builder game, though. I don't even know if Hasbro's doing that game now. I think that's another company that's doing that one. It's like, so I can basically take, there's some RPGs that are like G.I. Joe, Transformers, My Little Pony, and Power Rangers. And I'm like, so can I have a world where Twilight Sparkle is driving a mech and Snake Eyes is in the mech with her, and then like Optimus Prime is part of the mech, and then Duke is like running around and doing stuff, and then like Tommy from the Power Rangers just comes up and he's all like calling the Dragonzord, and they go up against like, you know, Twilight, Nightmare Moon, and a whole bunch of other people.
Yeah, pretty much. Because, I mean, all those games, it's not Modiphius. I can't remember who makes it.
I can't think of who it is, but yeah.
All those RPGs people. Are based off of the same system.
Yeah. I thought they were merging.
They've got like different mechanics and stuff between them, but it's at the core, it's the same like dice system and stuff.
Yeah, I thought they were actually doing that. I just need a world where
all of a sudden, you know. Yeah, no, they've done it. That's through the system that they're doing. Yeah.
I own it already out.
Yeah. It exists. All I need now is Twilight Sparkle to come up and be like, it's morphin' time, Princess Celestia. And just like, boom, it just transforms.
No. No.
Oh, the head on the hands.
Wow. As a GM, you've just made my head explode. No, I would never want to win that game.
While his head is exploding, I will add a couple things. Batman Team Up did give us something that kind of messes with the meta, too, because he talked about the constructs a little bit. If you want to talk about the economy for a minute, here's the thing to think about. You can get the majority of rings and constructs for under $50, except for the green ones primarily, because the green ones, I saw a set today, kid you not, in a trade group. It was Chip from Wonder Woman that will eventually rotate out. It was a green ring. It was a chainsaw, a stop sign, and the boot. And they were wanting $150 for that. Now, mind you, each ring comes with, I think, what, 6 to 8 constructs?
Yeah.
And that one only came with, like, 3. And they were wanting $150 for it because the green one's the one that's the most fed for, even beyond this Wonder Woman set, because you have a few Green Lanterns in the other set, in the Batman team-up. Because you have a Chase Batman that has access to the Green Lantern Ring. You have a Chase Wonder Woman that has access to the Green Lantern Ring. You have John Stewart. You have Joe Malone. You know, you have all these other people. It's like, oh, the other ones have like 1, maybe 2, like Sinestro and the Prime Scarecrow have access to the yellow one. And then they did Atrocitus as a legacy figure, the one from DC 75th. And they did
Dexstar.
Reprint,
made a new Dexstar.
For the red ones. So then it's like, okay, then you look at Indigo 1. I think that's the only purple lantern that we got, or Indigo lantern. And everyone got like one lantern. And so it's like, okay, so they intentionally set up a situation where if you want, like me, like I'm trying to build a detective team because Edward got me on this detective kick. And so I'm sitting there trying to collect some of the
mystery. Time is not done. It's time is not yet come.
Detective stuff. Yep.
We can't.
There's, that's all I'm saying. I will not put that out there. Because he just said, no, don't do it.
No.
Don't hit him.
No, because right that's now. Still money.
As we're talking about this Batman team-up thing, I'm looking at the set list. Are there legitimately, like, Shaggy and Scooby pieces?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. They did the whole Teen Titans Go team.
They stole drunk dials.
Pretty much. I'm sorry. I'm waiting for a world where we get the wacky races. We get the whole entire Hanna-Barbera. Oh, and by the way, con exclusive, Space Ghost will be at Gen Con.
That's pretty cool.
and one other thing I will say. So you know how we watch Scott Porter videos for all the unboxings and all this stuff, right?
Yeah.
Scott Porter has not one, but 2 figures. Now, in less than 48 minutes, they had one figure that sold out at 1,000 total figures. And people got so mad in the community about it that Scott Porter himself had to come out and be like, WizKids is making more figures, guys. I don't know how many more, but they're making more stuff. And then there's another one, it's the Powerbomb variant, if you remember Powerbomb from back in the day. So there's a Powerbomb, and it will be on sale on September 1st. And so that'll probably be 2,000 figures, and they'll probably sell out in like an hour plus. And this thing literally has, you know how they got rid of theme teams and were like, oh yeah, you know, theme teams, you get plus three. No matter how many people you have on the team, you only get plus three. Well, now they put Scott Porter out there, and Scott Porter's just like, oh, am I on a theme team? Can I get a theme team from anybody I'm on a team with? Okay, so now I can do this and I can heal characters. Ah, any character, just pick a character. It don't have to be adjacent to it. Just once my turn, I can be like, and I'm healing. So I want to kind of get ready to wrap this up here because I know we got people got stuff to do and everything. So, first of all, Rob J, what are y'all's newest adventures? What are y'all currently doing?
Can I pause on that for a second?
Because sure.
There's a secret that Rob and I have held on to.
Uh-oh.
For years. And this is some breaking news here.
Okay.
Well, it's broken news. It's like 8 years old, but do you guys remember the Captain America, the Winter Soldier set, and Thor: The Dark World?
Yeah.
He and I designed the Fast Forces.
Wow! I did not know that.
Yep. After we got in touch with WizKids, they we chatted with some of the folks there for back and forth a bit, and we were like, hey. You know, you want to throw some playtesting stuff our way, we'd be happy to give notes on it. And, you know, the big thing that they came back with, and I'm sure, you know, you're going to love hearing this, Dark Logos, is like, you know, we just really like how you're not negative about the game. And I'm like, well, it's not that we're not negative, we're positive about other stuff. Yeah. Like, we don't talk as much about the negative stuff because there are people who will take care of that. Yeah. So we talk back and forth, and they're like, well, you know, don't really have a need for more playtesting folks, but if you want to give some ideas for some figures, we might have some stuff that you could jot some ideas for. We've seen you guys do a lot of design stuff on the show. So we ended up doing... Actually, I pulled up a list here. All right, so what did we work on? Thor: The Dark World, the movie set was our first one.
Uh-huh.
We did the Fast Forces for that. Captain America Winter Soldier movie set, we did the Fast Forces for that. We did the Gravity Feed for Deadpool.
Cool.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, well, no, that's the one that I'm most proud of because that has the Daredevil in it that everybody is like, oh, yeah, this is Daredevil. And I'm like, oh, thank you, you guys. Now, first off, it was a team effort. And two, everything that we sent in got edited and tweaked after we sent it in.
Of course.
So it's not like we're, like, you know, writing the cards out and sending it in. We had no idea what the point values and stuff were about. Like,
gotcha.
They would change everything after we sent it in. But for the most part, it would be, like, there's a few pieces that just rolled through normally. But otherwise, yeah. it was straight up. And then, what else did we do? The Guardians of the Galaxy movie set.
Okay.
Yep. We did the main, movie set for that one. Yep. And then we did a few, con exclusives in it, or the OP kit stuff. The mid run, the one I'm most proud of. Is Daredevil. The one I liked the most was the OP kid Dormammu.
Okay.
That was me attempting to make
the big giant Dormammu?
A tentpole one-man team figure that I would like. Because I hated him. I hated just having one thing and moving it around and then having to take every third turn off and, you know. So right. I'm like, all right, give him mindless ones. Let him play with that action economy of sending out those figures and stuff. And we tried, we didn't do a whole lot of the show after we started doing that, but we did some. And there's, like, one cheeky thing where, like, if you dive back into one of the episodes where we're like, oh, yeah, that one figure from that set, that's a real nice design. We liked that one a lot. But otherwise, we were like, we didn't talk about the stuff that we made. We're just like, oh, yeah, new sets out. You know, it's like, oh, cool, we get another of this figure, another of that figure.
Right.
And, you know, I think we kind of overcompensated after we started doing that, because we're like, this feels like, I don't want to say it felt shady, but it felt like there was the possibility of it being shady. Like, if we give them more positive reviews, we would get more work.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, nobody implied that, and we didn't think that, but we wanted to make sure that wasn't a thing. So we almost got a little bit more critical at that point, just to make sure that we weren't, you know, kind of licking boot for the company. Yeah. and so, yeah, like, it, you know, we just did a few things. Like, we never did anything for like a main set and stuff, but it was just a fun thing that we did. And Jay, what do you think was your favorite of the ones that we made?
My favorite one that I did was Beyond the Dormammu, because Dormammu was my favorite piece that we did, flat out. Like, I thought that was just the best piece that we had designed. But I really enjoyed doing the Jack Frost piece.
What?
For the kind of the holiday sets, yeah. So Jack Frost was mine.
Wow.
Yeah, that was nice. That was all Jay, by the way. Yeah. Jay soloed that one, and it was great.
Yeah. It came out pretty close to what my final design was. They were,
now I need to get a Jack Frost, because now I know the man who created it. Because, yeah, the only holiday figure I have right now is a Krampus that I won at the special event that they did. Just because I think I was the first person in that round to hit a critical miss. And they're like, here's a Krampus! I was like, okay.
I also really liked that we made the Malekith from the Thor Fast Forces actually worthwhile.
Yeah.
I think it was significantly better than the main set one. I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's a little navel-gazy at this point, going back and looking at the stuff we made, where I'm like, yeah, we were really good at this. And I think we were also to the point where we were good at it, but we were a little too good. Some of the pieces were a little too strong.
Yeah. A lot of times we got feedback where we were like, okay, this is a Fast Forces set. You need to turn it down. These things can't have four special powers. We're like, okay, yeah, no, that's legit. Like, this is supposed to be how you learn the game. So, yeah. Okay, yeah. All right, sorry, we'll shut up.
Well, yeah, that's okay. When they make one of y'all's figures into a legacy figure, we'll have to come back and do a whole entire show about, they made a legacy figure out of this figure y'all designed. How do you feel about it now?
I totally think that they should with Jay's Nightwing. I remember loving your Nightwing.
I don't remember my Nightwing.
Well, the next DC set is Notorious. So it's supposed to be villain-centric. And apparently we're getting like a new Black Lantern, Martian Manhunter, and some other stuff. So we'll see what kind of stuff gets spoiled for legacy figures for that.
There we go.
Wow.
We're actually getting two DC sets this year. It's kind of crazy, because for a while it was just like, oh, we got a whole bunch of Marvel sets and one DC set this year.
It's been that way for 10 years now. Because I remember when I was a DC guy, Rob was a Marvel guy, so... It would always be like, oh, we got Giant Size X-Men. Oh, we got Deadpool. Oh, we got Guardians of the Galaxy. What'd you get, Jay? I got Streets of Gotham.
I like Streets of Gotham. That was a fun set.
It was one of my favorites. But it was really hard to stay excited about that when it's been like, it's been 11 months. When are we going to get something new? What's next? It's more Batman. Great. I'm so happy.
Does kind of seem
like Streets of Gotham and Batman were not too far apart. And that was sort of the big deal.
Oh, yeah.
It was those two. Yeah, there was those two stuff. Because didn't we have the Batman event where you could get the Batcave? I think that was part of the reason why.
That was the No Man's Land, right?
No Man's Land.
Yeah.
I still have
No Man's Land. Batman and Streets of Gotham were back to back a month apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember Edward. Yeah, I remember Edward telling me about the cop car stupidity, where you could just do like cop car grab and hold and lock and drag fools across. I'm like, I don't know how I feel about this, talking about it being us. I don't know how I feel. Just saying.
I remember talking a lot about, okay, yeah, the cop car just bumping into you and doing damage to Superman is really annoying. I don't know why bumping into people is unavoidable damage, but... this is what you can do. Like, it's like, I'm like, oh, huh. It was wild times.
I mean, it's...
That was definitely a jungle in its own way.
It's justice for the cops just to run people over and then help them to the bumper.
Of course the damage is unavoidable.
Yeah.
They've got qualified immunity.
That's it. There we go. All right. Well, gentlemen, it has been a blast getting to talk with y'all. It has been awesome getting a chance to kind of reminisce about a different time. I will say this is kind of my final caveat for the show. Y'all's show, along with my faith, really helped me get through a lot of stuff beyond just the normal things. And so I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for having something out there that I could vibe with, that I could grow in a HeroClix game with at times where it wasn't as fun. But I remember people saying stuff like, you know, if you're not having fun doing it, why do it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember talking about the $3 budget teams, and I would try to teach that to other people that I knew. And they'd be like, where are you getting all this stuff from? It's like, there's a podcast you should go check out. And I don't know if they ever followed my advice on it, but I was always there because I wanted to be, because you made something that I enjoyed. And by the way, I was talking about Colin S. when we were talking about the Spider-Man set. And he was like, oh, yeah, those guys, dude. Those guys were awesome. I remember them. And so you still have people around the HeroClix game that remember what Push to Regen was trying to do.
And hey, like, I will say 100%, if you enjoyed, you know, our show back in the day, or if you just kind of enjoyed this, you know, smattering of ridiculousness, 100%, I want Jay to talk about his show now, because seriously, Square Pegs is fantastic if you're into retro gaming.
Thank you. I will say that if you enjoyed the show, if you got something strategy-wise out of the show, that was all Rob's work. Because I was very much the color commentator and not the play-by-play guy. Rob had a much deeper understanding of the game than I did.
So was Rob the JR and were you the Jerry Lawler? Is that how that worked?
Yeah, we'll go with that. That works. that's fair.
I mean, not like now. Not
creepy, but yeah.
Yeah, less creepy. Yay.
Okay, fair enough.
But it means a lot that so many people love the show, because it was indeed a labor of love for both of us. It was something that we put a lot of time into, a lot of effort into, lots of sleepless nights, you know, just talking about clicks and coming up with different ideas. And it was something that was really important to us. And it's to this day, I mean, it's still the single greatest collaborative creative effort I've ever had.
100% agree.
My best friend, I love him to death, and to be able to create something like that that people cared about just means the world to me. And we, you know, we've gone different ways. I think it's the first time we've seen each other on camera in...
It's been a hot minute.
It's been a long time.
Yeah.
I'm notorious for losing track of people. If I'm not right there, you know, it's out of sight, out of mind. And I suck at that. And this is, you know, being able to see him is... It means a lot. So thank you for that, Will.
Hey.
Good to see you too, buddy. Love you, man.
Now, as far as what Rob's talking about, and I think you were going to ask about as well, Will, was what we're doing now. I run a YouTube channel called Square Pegs, where I talk about retro and modern video games. Video games have always been my main passion. Rob and I met in the video game industry. We both work at Electronic Arts. And that's what started this entire shindig.
Ooh, I didn't know that.
There we are. I'm back.
That's pretty dope.
And it's been my passion since I was a kid. It's been something I loved, and to be able to talk about it on camera is fulfilling. And people seem to enjoy it. So if you guys like video games, check out the channel. That's my thing.
All right.
The one without Sarah Jessica Parker. That's the joke. I did not know there was a Sarah Jessica Parker on the channel. So I have to throw that caveat out there. I do not know Sarah Jessica Parker.
You have a cuter nose than Sarah Jessica Parker, though.
I do. And I will say, if her cameo ever opens, I am having her record an intro for the show.
So, nice.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'll pay for it.
I've used Cameo a few times. We had Jay Lethal come on. Not Jay Lethal, but oh my gosh, the guy. Oh gosh, he was under Bobby Lashley for a while. He was like the guy who... He's in New Japan now.
Oh.
Little Wari dude.
Leo Rush.
Leo Rush came. Leo Rush. And mispronounced my co-host name. He was Smitir Roscoe. And we were just like, for a while, the running joke was, Smitir. Hello, Smitir. Because, yeah. So I had to learn how to make sure to get them to pronounce his Smiter right. So... But anyway, it's been dope, honored. Edward, last words to the guys. I want to make sure you get your chance to Say your piece, sir.
Oh, yeah. I always enjoyed these guys. The sad part is, unfortunately, you can't push the regen anymore. That's no longer a risk. But
I know.
But
breaks my
what's
heart.
Interesting is oops, sorry, that's my mom's oven. Hold up. It's like, here's the worst time.
The oven stays.
Yeah, it, when you hit certain temperature, it makes the noise. Like, it's like, hey, come and...
Mine just yells at me.
Yeah, but I worked with a lot of different HeroClix podcasts over the years, and these guys' names have come up multiple times. And that's like one of the fun things when I think about them, is that, like... I do joke, like, I am like the old timer. I'm probably the second HeroClix podcast that ever existed. But the key thing is, like, when you look at formats and you look at things that still sort of endure on, a lot of what they do, what they did in their show is still in a lot of popular shows like Dilates for HeroClix, for one. And there's several other competitive shows over the years that try to take a stab of looking at, you know, playing more economical teams. Maybe not as, like, down to the penny. There's a couple of episodes where I was like, come on, man, you can splurge 10 cents. You can splurge 10 cents. But
hard limit.
Hard limit. Stuck to the format.
Yeah, but...
$3 theme teams for a reason.
Yeah, but they did prove a point. And then if anything that proved their point in competitive, and I don't know if it's make you feel good or not. So there's a guy named Warren Jin, and he made it into the finals of a Rock qualifier playing, I think, all like shifting focus Superman. And when I watched him play like multiple shifting focus Supermans, I was just like, Is this for real a push to regen meme, you know, come to life? And he almost won the event. And at that point in time, I was like, yeah, like if you have the skills and you can do it, you can be competitive in HeroClix and not spend a bunch of money. So that's my piece.
Yeah. So thank you. Yeah, thank you guys from the bottom of my heart for doing what you did back then. To help a nerdy kind of disjointed dude get better at a game that he enjoys, because when this all comes down to it, it is about blasting superheroes. But we learned a lot together, and like I said, I made a really good friend in Edward through y'all's show. So
I mean, that's basically what we were doing. It's a bunch of nerdy weird dudes trying to get better at a game and trying to bring people with us. So yep. I'm happy it worked. You both are awesome. We're so thankful that you were a part of the show, and that you know, little bits of the show spirit live on in you guys.
Yeah,
that's all we could ask for.
Yeah.
So, well, anyway, we're gonna wrap this up. I know y'all got tons of things to go, so I'm gonna do it this way and say, first of all, thank each and every one of you, thank Jay, Rob, and Dark Logo / AKA Edward Shelton. For coming on the show and talking with me and geeking out about a really cool show that I loved and still is a part of my heart and will always be there. And is that a multiple man?
I did buy one fairly recent piece. I had to get the multiple man army. I had to get the dude pile mad drops figure. That's like the one piece I've gotten in like the past 7 or 8 years.
I dig it. So, as always, guys, you've joined us for this conversation where we got a chance to geek out about Push the Regen, a podcast that will live on in infamy for a lot of people and live on to inspire, hopefully, forever. And thank you guys for coming on. Above all else, do me a favor, guys. Be blessed to somebody. Take care.